y'all. What's happening?
What up?
Y'all good? Andy, you good?
I'm good. All hey, right. let's do that Spearsburg thing right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah, at the top.
Yeah, since we always forget to do it.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're listening to this, this is you're hearing us on Wednesday. If you're hearing it the day of the release, and we'll be in Virginia Beach at the Funny Bone this weekend. So if you're in that area, please come check us out. Otherwise, you can also check out a lot about us on our social media pages, which is Spearsburg Pod. On Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook,
Patreon,
on Twitter, Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can check us all out there. We got to get that shit in. We're not good at taking care of our health. Our podcast health. We're not telling people enough to come support us. We're not telling them to come out.
Okay.
What'd you think? Your health? Your personal health?
Yeah, nigga.
Dude, look at us in this video. We're not taking care of our health either.
What you talking about, nigga? This is sexy.
Dude, I'm pulling down my shirt. I'm trying to fix my titties.
Okay.
I hate video, man.
Dude, on a plane ride over. I won't say when, but on a plane ride over, I watched this movie, Crazy Sick Love. You familiar with it?
Yeah.
It's with Kevin Bacon, Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, Steve Carell, Julianne Moore, and Marissa Tomei. And just to give you all a quick overview, Steve Carell and Julianne Moore are married, and she tells him during dinner she wants a divorce. And then on the drive home from dinner, she starts telling him how she slept with her coworker, played by Kevin Bacon. And he says to her, look, just please stop talking. I'm going to jump out of this car. So she keeps on. And he basically jumps out of a moving car. And he moves out of the house. Of course, the wife gets the house because the man always has to move. He gets a shitty little apartment. And at some point, his son's teacher, who's played by Marissa Tomei, Steve Carell sleeps with her before he knows that that's his son's teacher. Cut to, it's parent-teacher conference day. And Steve Carell and Julianne Moore are sitting outside the teacher's classroom waiting to go in to talk to the teacher. And they have like this heartfelt moment where Steve starts apologizing for being a bad husband and he should have been more attentive and do all these things. I swear to God, my next special is going to be called 100% Heterosexual Alpha Male. The balls that are being clipped from men are unfucking believable. Ladies, with all due respect, I love you. Big shout out, Shamor, Farrah, AB, DeAndrea, if I'm saying your name wrong, DeAndrea Johnson, CC, because she actually emailed me and went, will you admit that I'm part of the club? I've been with y'all for. So to all my bitches, I love y'all. But this Jedi mind trick bullshit that women do is unfucking real. So let me get this straight. Oh, and before I say this, let me say this. So cut to, they go to talk to the teacher, and Marissa Tomei is livid because Steve Carell was supposed to, she said, you know, call me. He didn't call her. He fucked her. He kind of played her off. And she's livid to find out that, you know, he was once married. And then Julianne Moore gets pissed off because when Marissa Tomei basically rats him out to her that she slept with him, Julianne Moore gets an attitude. So let me get this straight. This man is apologizing for you sucking another nigga's dick and asking for a divorce. And you upset because since you want a divorce, he's moving on with his life. So he's wrong for moving on, even though you've clearly let him know you don't want him. And then he should be sorry for you sucking another nigga's cock and want a divorce. What? Like, and women will look at that in the theater and look at that movie and think that's right. What justification is this?
Emotional. She still had feelings for him.
You're missing the point.
I know, I got the point.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
I'm apologizing for you sucking somebody else's dick. I'm apologizing for you throwing me away. Our marriage. I'm apologizing for me moving on. Get the fuck out of here. The balls are in the popcorn, nigga.
I'm going to be generalizing here on this, but I think a lot of women would look at that and go, well, you know, the only reason she sucked the other dude's dick,
it's because he wasn't attentive.
And if he would have been, that would have never happened. But look, she still has feelings for him. That shows how much feelings she had for him, and that's why it was his fault.
Listen, I've said on this podcast before, women cheat for one of two reasons. One, out of revenge, because you did it to them. Or two, because you're not giving them what they want, and they're trying to communicate that to you, and you have a very I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude. I take that back. Even if he not giving you what you want, you can't go sucking other cocks. And then he certainly shouldn't be apologetic for some shit you did.
Well, it would be nice if you weren't getting what you wanted. You would say, hey, because we're very cut and dry. We're very simple creatures, men. I think we're very simple. You know, if you said to us, hey, I'm not getting what I want, and if that's fine, if you don't want to give it to me, then let's maybe look at changing our setup.
Yeah, before you suck that cock, let's agree to not be together.
Yeah.
Don't go suck the cock while we're together, and you use that as a means to go, well, I tried to tell you.
But now on the other side, women are going to go, well, dudes cheat on all.
And Shannon, big shout out to Shannon.
Dudes cheat on women all the time, and they think that's okay.
Yeah, I just had a problem with the fact that they, you know, we always have to look like these bumbling, pathetic idiots. Like, get the fuck out of here. That's why I love Ryan Gosling's character, because Ryan played the playboy womanizing, I'm sexy as fuck, let me teach you how to get your balls back guy. And this is where I got to go to. Women, this double standard. I just wish you guys would acknowledge that it exists. The scene where Emma Stone, who Ryan Gosling hits on in the beginning, but she doesn't want him because she's caught up into some dude that she works with until he shits on her, and then it makes her want Ryan Gosling. She goes back to the bar or the restaurant that they originally met, and he's talking to some girl, and she yells from across the room, "You!" And when he turns, she runs to him and just kisses him. Flip that. Let some dude come into a bar and see some bitch from afar and go, "You!" and run and get a kiss with no permission. His balls are nailed to the wall. You creepy pervert. You fucking, you Weinstein motherfucker. Like, women can just do whatever they fuck they want to do, and it gets accepted because they're women. Ladies, just admit the double standard exists. I don't mind it. Because if you run into a room and you go, "You," and you fine enough, you come kiss me without permission. You do a lot of things without my permission. But please admit that the double standard exists.
Well, and when you talk about Hollywood and the movies that are set up, women's cheating has been romanticized.
Yes,
and ours is evil.
Fucking animals.
That's really what's happened, though.
All right. It was a cool movie.
It was.
But I was looking at this shit like, this is bullshit.
Okay, but aside from that, Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Really good.
He's great at improv, man.
Could he have been a stand-up? Do you think he has, when you watch what he does, do you think that he could have been a stand-up? Because he's one of those guys that I think...
If he wanted to, I think.
Yeah.
If he wanted to.
He just has that delivery.
But some guys can be funny as fuck with improv on screen and TV and can't do stand-up to save their lives. So it's a different animal, but he seems like he's got the chops.
That's one of those guys that only gets better. Every time I see him, he gets better. I mean, he had some really crazy shit that he did at the beginning anyway.
Right.
But that movie, that was acting too. I mean,
I love the line his son says in the movie, "You're not a different person, you just wear different clothes." I love that line because I would always, on some of these daytime, back when I used to watch daytime talk shows, and they used to do these makeovers where they put ugly motherfuckers in fly clothes. I'm glad we put an end to that horse shit. That when his son said that line, listen, if you ugly and you atrocious in the face, I don't give a fuck what kind of clothes you put on. It does not change you.
Now here's where the...
Because he, no matter what he wore, he still had that goofy persona.
Yeah. But you don't think women see the dude different in real life? When
in a because you wear a different shirt
because you look you dress with nicer clothes. You so there's women will tell you the first thing that they look at is the dude's watch and his shoes.
Well, she's looking at the watch to see if what she can get in a divorce based on the watch.
Yeah, but you know, shoes are there's cheap shoes, there's expensive shoes. I'm telling you, if guys, we're bad because we walk in and if she has things that we desire physically.
If you put Louise Guzman or John C. Reilly in an expensive shirt, does it change the face?
No, but it could make him cooler.
Okay.
Like he knows, like he has style. He has, what's that, panache.
Okay.
Some pizzazz.
All right. All right.
Dude,
I think if you a rich motherfucker and you ugly and some nice shit, you'll be accepted. But if you a broke motherfucker who's ugly and some regular shit and some nice shit, it don't make no difference.
Yeah, but you don't look like you're broke when you do that. Dude, when you brought up Louise Guzman though, has anybody done more with an unflattering body? He puts that shit out in every movie. He has that shirt
right
with his chest and his stomach. And
well, that's that Spanish shit,
dude. But he
Spanish men, you know, they just, you know, they unbuttonate five buttons from the neck down with a little belly meat hanging out.
And he still that's sexy to the
yeah. Them Spanish niggas, they know how to they know how to sell that shit. That Tito Puente shit. They know how to do that.
Dude, that dude is one of my favorite dudes. When he's in a movie, I'm always excited that he's in it.
If you put Danny DeVito in a tailor-made Armani suit, what changes?
JCPenney's didn't get a sale that day.
There you go. Dude, I want to talk about some shit real quick that I put out where I was a little bit at war with my people, some of my people.
This is always bad. Good for me.
This young rapper, Kodak Black, I found this clip on Instagram where this motherfucker is trying to say the word orange. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And I'm going to play the clip. But this motherfucker, like if you didn't know that he was trying to say orange because I told you, there's no way you would know what the fuck he just said. Orange is a two-syllable word. He chopped it down to one. On. This nigga says on. Man, I like my car on. I like the money around my band on. I like my chicken on. And I sent out a post where I said, I don't give a fuck where you from, how poor you were, or how you grew up. This is unacceptable. This type of ignorance is unacceptable. So let me play this clip right quick.
Brr. Hey man, I want everything on, you know what I'm saying? I like motherfucking soda on. That's the only soda I drink, by the way. I want my bitches on. I want my motherfucking chicken on. I want bitch, my clothes on, my shoe on. Motherfucking bitch, I even want motherfucking rubber band around my money on, I said, brr.
I like my shoes on.
No, not on. Oh. And here's what some of my people said. Yo, man, it's where he from, yo. That's that Florida shit. It's where he from. Why you fucking with him just because he has an accent? And some dude said to me, who was really pissed, he said, you know, you New York motherfuckers think y'all so much better and smarter than everybody else. Y'all speak with an accent, too, when y'all say shit like son, fam, dead ass. Y'all some goofy ass niggas. I said, first of all, you stupid motherfucker, understand the difference between slang and an accent. What you just said is slang. That's not an accent. First of all, I can excuse an accent. We all have accents. Bostonians have theirs. East Coast niggas have theirs. Down South niggas have theirs. I can excuse an accent. on is not an accent. It's a two-syllable word that you've reduced to one. Why are we promoting stupidity? Is that where we're at? We are promoting stupidity. If you sell me on saying, pronouncing orange on, tell me where that's right. Tell me where that is factual. Anything less, you are supporting stupidity. And let me break this down. Let me tell you the difference. When New Yorkers go, yo, what up, fam? Yo, what up, kid? Yo, chilling, God. Yo, what up, yo? How's Mom Dukes? Yo, dead ass, son. That's slang. Here's an East Coast accent. Andy, what's this word? R-E-C-O-R-D.
O-R-D. Record?
Yeah.
Record.
Or what you listen to.
Yeah, record.
Record.
I thought you said record. Okay.
Okay, record.
Yeah.
We go record.
Record. Okay.
Yo, son, yo, you get that record? That's an accent. When we say coffee, some New Yorkers go hard on the coffee.
Yeah.
That scene in Die Hard with a Vengeance with Bruce Willis, when him and Sam Jackson defused the bomb in the park. And then they see the two kids on the bikes running out of the convenience store. They just stole some shit. And Bruce Willis stops them and he goes, what are you doing? You want to go to jail over a bag of chips? And the kid goes, look around. All the cops are into something. You could steal city. Who? That's New York. Who? That's an accent. Anything else? God, fam, Mom Dukes, dead ass. That's slang. Learn the difference, cocksucker. Bostonians. When Bostonians go, ka, pock, patty. That's an accent. Wicked son. Slang. Where's Tommy? He's downstairs working on his car. He's going to go over to the bar for the patty. It's going to be fucking wicked kid. Wicked kid is slang. People from Baltimore, they don't go Maryland. They go Merlin. So it's like, you know, niggas kill me. Well, like again, if anybody want to hit me up on Instagram, before you really try to match wits with me, learn what the fuck you talking about.
Okay, the
talking about. That's accent.
The way he says orange.
It sounds
Cajun.
I know,
but that's an accent everybody's made fun of forever. They're devolving to Cajun.
I tell you what. If you can pull up an actual Cajun accent or some dialogue where I hear the word orange is pronounced on, I'll apologize.
But I'm saying that's an accent that historically it's been made fun of.
That nigga pronounces orange the way you say the white dude who does comedy, Gary On. That's ridiculous, yo. I like my soda on. I like my shoe on. If my daughter ever brought a nigga like that home, out of here. Out of here. The fuck out of here, yo. I like grapes. Anna's. Yo, let me get some fruit. Let me get some Anna's. Some apes. On. Some pineapple.
I think that white dude who took the can to the face probably said orange that way.
No, he... And listen, there were a lot of black people who knew exactly where I was coming from. But there was also a lot of black people who just was like defending it and felt like I was being harsh. I just don't understand how... Again, an accent. And I've heard certain people from certain regions of the country say certain things in their native accent, but I could still make out what it was. It still had the proper amount of syllables. Now, when you change syllables and you can't make out what it is, come on, man. Nah, that's stupidity.
This is not anything to do with racial at all. This is just, I believe, the direction that we're moving in we like things that are fun, silliness, but being taken seriously is something that's not in style anymore. to speak.
You talking about with the youth?
Yes.
Okay.
To speak correctly, to understand reason, logic, and work things out. Critical thinking. That was the word that Carlin used in our last episode. Critical thinking.
Right.
Those things aren't necessary. I had someone, when I was talking about getting things right, whatever, someone hit me up, and they wrote a nice letter, and it wasn't to be combative or anything, but then they said, you know, sometimes when you, they like, you got to think that a reporter might not have the time to tell all the facts. That's not critical thinking. If you don't have time to tell all the facts, then you got to figure out how to tell the story where you get all the facts in there. I think that we're moving to a place where it's just about, we have so much information that's accessible to us that we don't feel like we have to have that information anymore. We don't have to speak correctly. We don't have to do the things that we used to do in the past that we thought were proper, because we're going into a different mode now.
I wish I could pull up that great quote by Denzel about the news. He had such a great quote about something. I'll butcher it. Something about the rush to be informed.
Oh, yeah.
Versus, I wish I did. It was such a great fucking quote.
Basically, it was the rush to get the credit for being the first to get it out there.
Instead of getting it correct. Correct. Right.
So that is, but I think that's the direction. When you talk about intelligence, I think that there's a new direction where these things aren't as important because we have all the information to us. Speaking correctly, I think that's everybody trying to come up with their own.
Well, here's the other thing, and this is where it's pertinent to black people. With great power comes great responsibility. When you're Kodak Black or any of these young would-be rappers, you got kids that look up to you. You got kids that are going to follow your lead. And it'd be one thing if the stigmatism didn't exist.
It's about stigma, since the ridiculous.
Oh, is it stigma?
Yeah.
It's not stigmatism?
That's in your eye.
Well, see, thank you. You're see, now I fucked up. I'm glad you corrected me. Now I'll never say stigmatism again. Stigma. See? Great power, great responsibility. The stigma already exists that, you know, black kids are uneducated and, you know, we're seen in a negative light in that way to begin with. So why perpetuate that by saying on when you can say it the right way? Like, come on, man. I know that part of youth is, you know, trying to find identity and trying to be cool, but you can still be that and not be ignorant. That's why I often go, again, when people sit there and go, you know, you look at these young rappers like Lil Pump and Lil This and Lil That and how garbage they are lyrically, and you go, and people pawn that off with the excuse, well, they're young. I always say Nas was 19 when he wrote Illmatic. Same age as these niggas who you're giving passes to for weak lyrics. Well, they're young. Nas was 19. And Illmatic is one of the greatest rap records ever by one of the greatest rappers ever. So don't give me that excuse.
You know, since you went to rap.
You can be brilliant and be young, too.
But you, okay, so he's a rapper, right? So you don't think that some of these words, when you're rapping, you might change a word so that it fits into the flow.
Yeah, but it still fits within the context.
Okay.
It still makes sense. It's still understandable.
Well, but do you think it's possible that he's taking his lyrically his rap style, and then he takes that into and then adds that to his regular conversation?
Well, then nigga, put a beat behind it. When you talk, put a beat behind you.
Maybe he hears it in his head all the time.
No, we need to hear it. That way I can justify that bullshit.
I'm just asking questions. I don't know. I've seen younger people changing everything. There's a different mentality right now.
I hope to God we don't create a generation of young people that think it's okay to say on.
If everybody understood what it was, would there be?
We just have a nation of idiots.
Would we change the spelling?
I hope to God not. I'd rather leave the statue of Robert E. Lee up and say orange right. Shit. On, nigga. What? Hey, man, turn the TV on. What you want me to turn the TV on, or you want a piece of fruit? That's the same meaning. It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to think about, you know, The Hispanic community has a ton of those.
Sexy as a motherfucker, boy. She really turned me on. Oh God.
We cut the Mexican community cuts the light. Cut the light. Let's turn off the light. Cut the light.
Okay.
Now turn it off.
Now turn it off.
Don't turn it. Cut it. Cut the light.
I'm telling you, cut on.
And you come out with little slices of orange.
This is fucking ridiculous. Want to talk about something sexy?
Go ahead. Dude, you've been killing me all weekend with this.
Man, that fucking Bee Gees documentary. Folks, I don't know if you're into documentaries or not, but please, if you love music, if you love, it's like when you send out a post and you hashtag all things related. Hashtag documentaries, hashtag music, hashtag the 70s, hashtag disco, the Bee Gees documentary. Fucking beautiful. And I listen, I like the Bee Gees. Well, I like the one song, Stayin' Alive. But after this documentary, I downloaded four songs from the Bee Gees. Let me tell you something, man. I've said this on the podcast before, so I'm sorry. I'm you know, going over the same waters, but however death works, because I'm almost starting to believe maybe shit is just recycled. Because I've gone to places on YouTube and seen these eerie videos of people of today who look like people from the past. So maybe when you die, you just come back in a new era. And that's why you might look like somebody from the past in your past life. But I hope to God, man, I there's a sweet spot. Like, I want to be 25 years old. I want to live the whole 70s in my 20s and damn near somewhere in between 25 and 30. I think I tried to do the math on this. I'd have to be born in 19, I think it was 58. Because 58 to 68, that would make me 10 years old. Okay, how do I get to 25 years old from 71 on?
Well,
when would I have to be born?
70 would be, what, 20 off that? 50, 45, 46.
The Jew, ladies and gentlemen.
1946.
Ah, they're good with numbers, aren't they? Anytime you need to crunch some numbers, just grab a kike.
Yeah, but you don't want to be born at that time. You want to be born just a little bit later. You want to be right after World War II.
World War II. I want to be born in an era where niggas just escape the pain.
Well, then you got to go 60s.
As long as I'm born after the rope jewelry.
So, I think if you're looking for that time, like 48, 50.
Somewhere, whatever gets me to be.
Well, 50, you're 75. You'd be 1975. You're born in 1950. So you would be 25 years old.
In 1970.
In 1975, you'd be 25 years old. So if you want to go 5 years, you'd have to be, what did I just say?
At 1970, I want to be 25.
Yep. Okay, 45, then you have to be born. But that's during the war, man. You don't want to be you're not experiencing it.
No. And my main thing is I just, that era, when you just in your prime and your body is movie starish, to be in the 70s, because the only way you pull off them tight white pants that them niggas wore is you got to be in pristine fucking shape. Because them pants showed dick bulges and money. So, yeah. The 70s, man, what a fucking time. The Bee Gees. Dude, that song they got, How Deep Is Your Love, that part in the documentary where dude was saying, you know, that song was his heart. It was his baby. And you could see him welling up a little bit. Bitch moment for me. I was laying in bed, and when they started playing that song, that the summer breeze, that the how deep is your love, how the love is your love. I started, welling up, nigga. Like, I was just picturing myself, nigga, on a beach with some all white, with the bitch of your dreams, and I could feel that summer heat he was talking about, and that, man, that shit, sexy as a motherfucker.
Dude, the best part, you know, and slightly off topic here, for the Bee Gees, if you're the Bee Gees, mm-hmm. you got to do this before social media. So you're at the height. You're like the larger than life dude, and no one's recording you. No one's audio recording, video recording you. Right. You're just out there. They can't get a hold of you unless you want to be gotten the hold of. You could do whatever you want, and no one. You didn't have to worry about anything.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. And when Andy goes, yo, you've been bugging me with this all. Nigga, I'm telling you, the Bee Gees was the shit. Come on, man.
All weekend I've been listening to the Bee Gees.
I feel like Casey Kasem. And this one up next is the Bee Gees. Come on, man. Tell me you're not picturing laying on the beach.
It's hard for me to picture that because did you never saw Saturday Night Live? Saturday Night Fever.
I did finally see it. You did? Yeah. But just picture on the beach and you got on the fucking white, was it satin? Whatever it is, that loose material. And that air just shoot up from your ankle through your nuts. And you got your shirt with your shit open. And you got the girl standing over the back of you rubbing your chest and shit. Some fresh orange juice. And you just feel that breeze, nigga. It just, oh, God.
Yeah, but I still picture everything from the Saturday Night Fever because I saw the movie, so I know, right. You know, all the stuff is in the movie. I see it differently because I was old enough. I like girls, and the movie hits, and this music is on.
Right.
And John Travolta's playing the lead character, who was like the biggest dude at the time.
Right.
I mean, everything about my life changed at that moment because I was like, how do you get cool? Like, how do you get sexy?
Right.
And I didn't even really.
That movie showed you.
Yeah, but I really didn't even understand. No, you know why? It didn't show me? Because you saw the movie, right?
Right.
I'm the dude who doesn't get in the fight and falls off the bridge. That's why.
That's hilarious.
I had the big Jufro. I had shoes with the 3-inch heel on it.
Right.
I had all that
I
shit.
I would give anything to see those pictures.
I'll show you some. You know what? If we can post it, I'm going to send one to Anthony so he can post it on our social media.
That would be fucking
hilarious. I'm going to send you a few. I'll send him a couple of them.
And you know, that one album alone, the soundtrack from Saturday Night Fever, from Staying Alive, How Deep Is Your Love, More Than a Woman. Breathe the night fever. You don't have to do it. And Night Fever.
Night Fever.
Yo, that album, which of course enhanced the movie's success, but they banged out at least 5 hits off that soundtrack. Not to mention their own shit.
Yeah, they weren't even trying to do the soundtrack at the time when they got that call. They gave up some of their songs.
Right.
But there's other hit songs on that album, because it was an album.
Yeah.
A record. That were hit songs also. I mean, it was just that that all came along at the right time, and the Bee Gees were there for it. But again, as a white dude, when we're talking about this, and I have to throw this in, isn't it irritating that there was all these black artists that were doing disco music, and then the face of disco overnight becomes the Bee Gees?
Well, before we even get to that, you know, one thing that they said that became the sound of disco was something that they had never heard before, which was that falsetto.
Yeah.
From Barry Gibb. But to what you just said, to the contrary, there was the stylistics. And every and almost anything that white artists have been given credit for was already done by us. And listen, they obviously, you know, there have historically, musically, there have been a lot of great white artists, and I love a ton of them, but the contribution that black people have made musically and have not gotten their residuals has been catastrophic.
Okay, but we got to be honest about this when we say this. So even Motown Records, which had a, which was owned by a black man.
Yes, Berry Gordy.
They didn't get all the residuals from that either. So it wasn't just, it wasn't just a white thing. This is the music business that we're talking
about. Okay, cute.
I'm not trying to be cute. I'm trying to be...
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, and you're right. But predominantly,
yes,
we don't run the music game the way they've run the music game.
No, no.
Now, the P. Diddy's of the world, and niggas just started getting their masters. Being able to own their masters or strategically trying to get their masters. Nas had this great story where he said he met Prince and he wanted to work with Prince and said, Prince, I want to do something with you. Prince said, not until you own your masters. And it was a teaching moment for Nas. And Prince was always one to own his masters. But back to that, whether it was Ray Charles, who I know we played that clip before on the podcast. We was going, yeah, I know, Elvis Presley, the hip shaking and all of that. I'm not impressed. We've been doing that. You know, like I said, I forget the name of the black female artist, but you ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Oh, that's
was originally by a black woman.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I know who it is.
Yeah.
I have that on my on music.
Yeah. So, again... And the Bee Gees will tell you. The Bee Gees said it in the documentary. The Rolling Stones have admitted it. Black music has always been at the staple. But matter of fact, the Bee Gees really didn't start taking off until they started doing soul music.
Right.
So, yeah, and Otis Redding was one of the first people that they said he saw that they were influenced by and wanted to work with until he tragically died in a plane crash. But nonetheless, black influence, like, come on, man. A lot, that's why, again, with the Beatles, with all of these groups that come over from London, England, you know, we see black music, you know, Sam Cooke, the Stylistics, James Brown, Jimmy Brown, or Aretha Franklin. We're having an influence by it because it's great music, it's soul music, it tells a story.
Well, the Stones talk about that their music was just R&B music, just either they were re-recording already previously released music, or they were putting out something that was kind of a regurgitated music that they just kind of changed. Now, eventually they came up with their style that's theirs, I guess.
Right. But they always seem to start out.
Yes. Well, that's what rock music is. I mean, but you got to go deeper, because where all that really comes from is gospel.
Hello.
So without that, and without the blasphemy of taking gospel music.
I just, you know, like, at least if you're not going to give motherfuckers their residuals. I mean, I know y'all give the credit, but just if you're going to blatantly steal, just have the right attitude with it. Oh, we want to thank all you niggas for all the things that you've done. You know, you gave us our start. You gave us the blueprint. Because of you, we've reaped the rewards. We've gotten all the money, all the masters. We've got the houses, the cars, the women. And you've got nothing. So we want to thank you all. Sam Cooke. Who's a bloody black bitch? Aretha Franklin. Jimmy Brown. all you niggas. We want to thank all you niggas. Because the other day I was putting on my knickers as I was thinking about your knickers. Yeah, man. So it's just good to get that credit, man. But you know what? The Bee Gees, they felt like they had that. They're just some white artists who, when they lock into our shit, they know how to make us move. And that's why I notice on any of these musical things where they talk about black music, who's the one current artist today they always show?
Justin Timberlake and Justin Bieber's. But I'm just saying.
But Justin, but
Timberlake has that.
He has that. He has that. I'm taking from you niggas. I can make you niggas move.
But he admits that he's not that people like that either. He says that that's Michael Jackson.
Right. Right. And dude, I'm just sitting here like, what was amazing about this thing is that they were together. Like, it, again, longevity. Anytime you go decades, Them motherfuckers was relevant from 60s, 70s. And the thing we talked about that blew my mind is when disco caught the backlash, basically by the 1980s, by 80, they fell off. Not because they weren't talented, but because of the backlash of disco.
Yeah, just the name Bee Gees was done.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you can sell out Dodger Stadium and arenas and then just go ice cold and the world turns on you. You know, their only rise back to fame came through writing.
Yeah.
Writing for great artists. But nonetheless, 60s, 70s, writing all throughout the 80s, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, them motherfuckers, yo, they soldiers, man. They were soldiers, yo.
But it's the family aspect of it. When you're in a group that long, that's one thing. It's the family. Now you're dealing with your own family and the group. That's a lot to have to deal with.
And you know what? They found out rather harshly and quickly when they tried to split up. And this how serious, because they said in the documentary, when you go from obscurity and not being famous to all of a sudden famous, especially when you're young, you don't know how to handle it. And when you get all that fame and all that money and all that attention, egos start to grow. So they all felt like they could be on their own, and none of them were as successful on their own as they were as a unit.
Except for Andy, and he was never part of the...
Right, Andy. And what a hot piece of melted, buttery ass that nigga was.
Dude, that's the dude. Again, I'm at that age, and Andy Gibb comes out, and I already... Bee Gees, I knew the Bee Gees, and Andy Gibb comes out, and his name, first of all, is right. Andy. So I'm relating to him as an Andy.
Right.
Even though I have nothing on me looks like Andy. The dude had a jaw, fucking great hair. And I'm like,
I'm not gay, nigga, by any stretch, but I'm looking at this motherfucker like, nigga, put this nigga on a plate and let him melt.
Dude, I think as a dude, when you look at a guy and you see that look, you know, you're not thinking, oh, I think this dude is so beautiful. You're thinking, that dude is so good looking. He gets X amount of dude. That's the only way we see it.
When I watched that and they showed him, I said, first of all, him and his brother Barry, I said, them two niggas, how much pussy are they swatting away? Now, Simon and Maurice?
Robin.
Robin.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
Dude, and Robin is the other singer. How, you know, you have to go.
That nigga's teeth, nigga.
He looks a lot like Barry, but he's just fucked up in all his features.
It's Eddie Murphy versus Charlie Murphy, nigga. Like, that nigga looked like he could open beer bottles with his teeth, nigga.
If Charlie Murphy was alive right now, he would smack you for saying that.
I wouldn't even say it if he was alive. What you mean when you say this shit like this? I wouldn't even say it. But yeah, dude, like, what the fuck happened in the gene pool?
Dude, they're twins. The genes obviously were a little thin, and they had to pass them out to both.
But something happened because Barry and Andy turned out right.
Because they were singles. Maurice and Robin were twins.
Wow.
There wasn't enough good DNA to make two of them. They could only
Anytime you see them British motherfuckers with teeth like that, and the Brits are quite known
for having bad
teeth. You always just picture them. There's that, you know, there's an English accent, which is a lot more clearer. And then there's that other one of a dude who's got the fat beer belly, the circle glasses, hanging on to three strands of hair. And when he talks, he's been in a band, he's done a million drugs. You can barely understand shit. Oh, you know, come on with the record. The record boys have a fight. No, I told me, Mike. I said, go down there. So you think we're going to follow it, and it's going to be a little bit. Courtney would make a record. Like, that red. He just looks like he talks like, come in the record. We call the record. Ugh. Woo. That motherfucker there.
But that's tough, though. Your brother is the other lead singer, and he...
Dude, it's... perfection is never... nothing's perfect. That's like I said with the Wahlbergs. You know, Mark is the dude. Donnie was the dude at one point.
But Donnie was never the good-looking dude. He was just the dude.
Well, Donnie was decent when he was New Kids on the Block, Donnie. But then there's the other one, which we talked about on the Rocky episode. That nigga. Quasimodo in this motherfucker.
Dude, and I don't even think the dude's that ugly. It's just that your brother's a Calvin Klein model.
You know what I mean? Can you feel it, baby? Dude, going back to the disco shit, and the guy responsible who was leading the charge for The Destruction of Disco. This motherfucker, the one who banged the record and broke it on his head.
The DJ.
Yeah. Why would you, as a dude, not like disco? Because the only reason you would hate disco, first of all, we're talking about a music that makes women want to be sexy. Dress sexy at that time when you went out to a club to disco. It was a fashion statement. Women are wearing, looking good. The music makes them move their body. As a dude, if you have the ability to get pussy or the desire to have some, what better music and atmosphere is there than a disco club? Women in dresses, tits, and back when tits were real and they were basically just nipples with a little bit of meat, and the women were gorgeous and high heels and moving their body and you could grind on them. Why the fuck would you hate on disco?
Where was the city that they did the record explosion?
They New York. Through.
It was New York?
Yeah. Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
Comiskey Park.
Okay. So, let's break this down just a little bit, though. So it's also, at that time, disco was considered more, it was black and it was gay. Those were two. Those, and you're in Chicago.
Well, anywhere in the world at that time, in America at that time.
But in Chicago, it was very, it's very dude, anti-gay. Oh, man.
Oh! The quarterback is toast. Go ahead.
I think it's rye toast.
Yeah.
It's a dude. It's a tough guy city.
Right.
I think there was a lot of racism and bigotry in it. And the guy was on a rock station. He was a rocker. He wanted that. That comes with that at that time, especially at that time, a very male masculine kind of idea.
Yeah, but from looking at him. And the vibe from him, you know he couldn't get no pussy. You know he couldn't dance. You know he didn't want to dance.
But he was just the insider of it. I mean, he didn't bring out the records. This is talking about everybody.
But do you think that if he could pull a bad bitch and he could look good in disco clothes, he had a gut, he had a double chin, if his body could pull off those clothes, he could go to the bar, have some drinks, get some action, dance with a bad bitch, you think he would hate that?
So what you're thinking, the way that you're putting it to me is that every like mass murderer is just one piece of pussy away from, if he would have got that one piece of ass, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in.
Absolutely. Pussy is the tranquilizer dart to everything evil.
So
at
some,
at any point in your life, be mad, feel destructive. Feel like you want to do some shit. Get a phone call. I want to come suck your dick. Pew.
So, ladies, have you heard this? If you see a guy that looks like he's on the edge,
shoot that nigga with some pussy darts. Right on the face, on the lips. Pew. Niggas calm right down.
Ladies, save some lives.
Please. Next time you see a motherfucker in the middle of June in a mall with a trench coat and what looks like a Tommy gun under that motherfucker, go, excuse me, sir. He goes, what? He calm the fuck down. Sir, you all right? He'll stop breathing heavy. Fucking bitch. Fucking whore. You're supposed to blow me. Pussy darts, nigga. Pew,
pew. Wake up 15 minutes later. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let me, I got to play this other Bee Gees joint. And I've been, every time before the show, I play this and I start getting dressed. I'm on my way to getting ready for work. Nigga, I got the towel around my waist. I'm naked and I'm grooving as I'm putting on lotion. Nigga, this is, oh.
Dude.
You know what's funny about this? The beginning of this to me sounds like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Yeah, it kind of does.
That show with Robert Leach. Yeah. Watch. I'm Robert Leach. Welcome to the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. could dance, nigga, and get some bitches. What? She got some champagne, some whatever, alizé. She in her skirt with her thighs showing, tits and nipples. You got your dick and balls pants on. Oh, she got the flower in her hair. And you grind, what? And as soon as that fat motherfucker who wants to destroy disco comes in looking like, shut the music off. That's ladies when you calm that nigga right down.
Dude, I think when you do your next special, should be you should reenact the Saturday Night Fever where John Travolta is getting ready to go out that night.
Right.
He's doing the little damn brushing his hair. You should do that whole get ready, get the white suit on, and then go walking out the door. But then, you know, you arrive back in your jeans and your t-shirt.
Or I walk right out the door, and as soon as I open the door, I don't even see it. It just hits me. Ah, pussy dart. And I go right back in the room and fuck. God, man, again, I just would love to be a part of that era. I would love to come back and just live my life in that era because it just seems so fucking cool, man.
Pre-herpes, pre-AIDS.
Pre a lot of things, right?
Yeah, well.
The only thing that was popular, or was that more in the 80s? Coke.
Oh, no, but Coke was late 70s.
Okay.
But... And any disease.
But it just seemed like you didn't die as badly. Yeah.
Well, any disease that you could get, sexual disease, they had a shot for it. It wasn't, you know, 80s is when that everybody had to start bagging up.
Right.
See, that's a new normal.
What?
If you would have lived in at that time. If you were in the 70s, you could fuck, you got a whatever, you just go get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just put a little bag over your dick and you fuck. That's considered normal now. See, there is no new normal.
Yeah, but some niggas don't follow them rules. Me! Fuck that.
Suffocate your dude.
Dude, I didn't know until they mentioned it in the documentary that there was a law in the 70s in New York that said gay people weren't allowed to dance with each other in a place where they serve liquor.
Yeah.
That's insane. So what's the thinking that if they dance and then liquor is served, liquor mixed with gay dancing leads to dick sucking in the club?
Possibly. Well, I think they might have even thought if you were on the edge, if you were and you went and had a few drinks and you saw Andy Gibb dancing on the dance floor, you might go, yeah, well, I'll give it a shot.
God, see, this is what I'm saying. Like when we talked about on the last podcast, America being the greatest country in the world. Yeah, but like that's so fucked up.
Okay, but listen, I it is fucked up. But look at the, but you got it. This is what I'm talking about too.
We no gay marriage. You're not allowed to dance in a place where they serve liquor. No health care. You fuck over the citizens with stimulus checks to the bullshit. Like Jesus.
But we've talked about this, not on the podcast, but me and you have talked about this recently, that history is viewed from the lens of today, not from the lens of that day or of the history from back then. You know, when they were saying no liquor in gay clubs, being gay at that time was still considered a mental illness. So they didn't want, I'm not agreeing with what I'm saying. I'm just saying that that time you might have been able, you could have get that law passed because you could, well, these are people with mental illness. Now we're having alcohol. Now they're drinking together. This is, we're contributing to this illness. That's how they were looking at it, as the illness. So when you break it down that way, yeah, it's still not right. But you're breaking it down in a way that you go, this were just evil people, or were they trying to have some idea that this was correct? We've done we've passed laws to continue evil activity. I'm not trying to give a pass on that as what it is. I'm just saying when you look at history, you got to look at it from the lens of that day and how they were trying to how they sold that. So I wouldn't say America was evil. The people, the politicians, the people who were running, the police, they were, they didn't want that. Whether they believed that it was wrong or not, I'm not judging that, because I'm looking at it from the history, from the view of that time period. Looking back now, hopefully as we get older and more intelligent, we look back at things and go, that was just wrong.
Right.
But it's a different lens that we're looking at it from.
Mm. Jesus, that's fucked up. Okay.
It doesn't change whether it was right or wrong. Because I know I can feel letters being typed right now. I'm not saying it changes whether it was right or wrong, but you got to at least look at it from the lens of that day. And then you know why people might have done what they did. Not agreeing with it.
Right.
Just saying that's why they did it.
Right. I think I don't know if I have anything else. Yeah, no. So listen, people, go see the damn documentary. It's a really good documentary. The last thing that felt a little nostalgic to me was when they did that big concert at Dodger Stadium, and they interviewed the two girls, and they were like, "We've been here since 8 o'clock this morning in the rain. It's well worth it." The bitch had a frisbee in her hand. A frisbee, nigga. When I was a kid, we played with frisbees. When's the last time you saw a frisbee being thrown somewhere?
Someone throwing it at their dog?
Because it reminded me of the times when I was a kid and we would go to Central Park to throw the frisbee.
Right.
Like, Jesus, dude, a fucking frisbee.
Maybe, have you tried playing froth?
What the fuck is froth?
It's like golf, but you use a frisbee.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know what the fuck that was.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Man, when was the last time you caught a frisbee?
I think I had a frisbee at my house because my son, when my kids and I went to the beach, we took a frisbee.
The last time I remember playing with a frisbee, I also wore denim shorts. And not denim shorts that were made, like they came as shorts.
Cutoffs.
You cutoffs with yeah. the shit hanging.
Not jorts, cutoffs.
Cutoffs.
Yeah.
Whew, the 80s, nigga. Remember, and you would wear those shorts with tube socks with the rings around them.
Yeah, yeah. There's the colored socks. Rings. Yeah, I still like those. They don't. I wish they had them. Did you wear OP shorts? OP? They were surf short, but they were like corduroy shorts.
Said surf, nigga.
I'm just asking. Nah. That was yeah. like the popular.
Not for black. Nigga, surf? Niggas didn't know.
Yeah, I lived in Arizona. We weren't surfing. What, were desert surfing? Surfing on cactus?
Oh, no, but I'm, you know.
The one black dude that went to my school, he had a pair of OPs.
The one black dude.
The one black dude.
He was kidnapped by you motherfuckers and forced into a life he know not to return. Okay. I think that's it, brother.
That's it.
More than a woman.
Yeah.
More than a woman to me.
And if you're in the Virginia Beach area, check us out at Funny Bone. This weekend.
How deep is your love? How deep is your love? Is your love? Is your love?
And hopefully by that time, Aries will have seen another documentary.
More than a woman. More than a woman to me.
Because I like the Bee Gees, but I went through this in the 80s. 70s, 80s. God, I'm old.
It's a night fever. You don't have to do it. Oh, yeah. And I'm in the night fever. You don't have to do it. Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, shit. Musical guest or the next thing. Let's see who we have here. Who do we have here? Which one of these motherfuckers is I gonna pick to put on? Who you gonna put on? I don't know. I gotta put somebody on.
No one copied it to him, to Kodak?
To who?
Kodak. No one copied him?
All the niggas that he hang with sound like him. Who gonna copy? Who gonna correct
Maybe
him?
They didn't understand you. Maybe they didn't know what you were talking about. Maybe they didn't understand.
Ooh. Me?
Yeah, your English.
My English is quite good, Andy. E.G. Patterson. E.G. Comedy Jam. You can, all his socials is at EJ underscore MA. Oh shit. Wait a minute. I don't even think this motherfucker. sent me something. He sent me all the shit. Oh, no, he did. I'm fucking $10 a lot of me. At EJ underscore MARYLAND. That's his Instagram. His Facebook is at EJ Patterson, PATTERSON on Facebook. YouTube channel under EJ Patterson. All my stand-up is there. Thanks, man. So get ready to enjoy some comedy from EJ Patterson. See you, boys and girls, next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We're going to go record the record. I'm feeling kind of pissed off. I think I'm going to go fuck some shit up.
Big blocks. Don't let me point your big ass out. Big blocks, make some noise. I love fucking with big blocks, man. Bad part is we let a big block ride. You ever been rolled by big blocks?
Hell yeah.
That shit had you looking like the little blow up things at the car lot.
Yeah, man.
Like, what the fuck? Dance with a big girl on the wall. She would not let you go.
Nope.
Yeah, that motherfucker. See, with a skinny girl, you know, you can dance.
Uh-huh.
Dance like that with a skinny girl. Big block, this is all you going to see. One man on child support at. Child support in the house. Hey. I'm the only one on child support in this motherfucker.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. That's good. My baby mom put me on child support a week after my daughter was born. Knew I wasn't shit from the get-go. And I asked her, I said, you ever had another man? Your daughter called another man daddy? Oh. That shit hurt me to my heart, man. Hurt me to my heart. But we went to the courtroom together and I said, well, since he's daddy and I'm daddy, we can split this child support 50-50.
Yeah, boy. Say what?
That's how I feel about it. You know what I mean? But man, it's hot than a motherfucker up there. We in the basement.
Can you feel it, baby?